Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today on this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. I'm happy to see all of you, and I hope you're staying cool. Today's going to be a bit of a scorcher. So to help mitigate that a little bit, it's also Sunday. So join us over in Fellowship Hall after worship. We've got ice cream, all the fixins you could possibly want. Jimmy's is what you guys call it here. Sauces.
What do you call it?
Sprinkles. So we were going to have it out front, but it's just too hot. So we're going to meet over in Fellowship Hall after worship. So also next week, there's no worship here at Glenshaw Valley. We are participating in the community outdoor worship at Heartwood Acres at the amphitheater. We're going to join Glenshaw, Elfinwild, Hampton, and Parkwood Presbyterian churches. There's going to be communion. So bring a lawn chair or a blanket. If last year is any indication, I would also bring an umbrella for shade because it gets real hot on that field. It's going on rain or shine, unless there's like lightning. So come on out and join us. I could also use two elders, or you know, we could probably get away with a deacon to help distribute communion. So that's, if anybody's interested, let me know. This is the last week to get your school supplies in for North Hills. If you want to bring them to church, if you've forgotten and you still have things that you want to bring in, you can bring them into church and let me know and I'll let you in and we'll put them in there. We're going to be taking the supplies down on August 6th. And then, don't forget, this upcoming Saturday, BJ's 80th birthday party. If you haven't signed up by now, I don't know if we're gonna let you in. So, that's up to her sons. We'll see, though. But that should be a really great time, and I look forward to seeing a lot of you there. Any other announcements? Is there anything I'm forgetting? No. All right. Then let us gather together our hearts and our minds and prepare ourselves to worship God with our call to worship. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Open your hand. Satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just and kind. The Lord is near to all who call on God. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness.
That's what I forgot to announce. Mickey is on vacation, so Kimberly will be leading us and singing this morning. With that, we have been called to love our God with all of our heart, our mind, our strength, and our soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But our lives are constricted and self-consumed. We have failed to love God, neighbor, and ourselves as we should. So let us make the good confession before God and others. God, you uphold those who are falling and raise up all who are bowed down. Therefore, we confess our sins, both things we have done and things we have left undone, in every confidence that you will open your hands to us in an embrace of forgiveness and love. Amen. Dearly beloved, through the power of the Spirit that is at work within us, God forgives our sins and strengthens our inner beings. So now, knowing the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge and fills us with the love and fullness of God, know that you are forgiven. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Friends, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. You may be seated. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. O God, Christ gives us direction for renewing our discipleship. Your word enables us to enter more deeply into the Christian life. You call us not just to refrain from violence, but to restrain hurtful and unkind words. Indeed, you call us to ponder deep flourishing for all of your children and for your entire creation. Empower us to live by your way in the world. Holy One, help us to embody the peace that we pass to one another. By so doing, may we be your peace in the world. We know too well our divisions. Gender, race, sexuality, class, but help us bear witness to a different reality. Help us begin the process of healing and deliverance. Help us form new ways of being in mutuality, love, and justice with and through one another. Empower us to live out of your love in all that we do. Healing divisions, addressing enmity, reaching out to those we perceive as enemies. God of all nations, we pray for all countries around the globe, for those who have been charged to exercise leadership on behalf of the common good. Help them to discern wise use of resources and to address the needs of citizens suffering from wars and its grave economic strains. And move us all to attend to the cries of the marginal in our midst. Finally, Lord of healing and comfort, we pray for all of those who are ill in mind, body, or spirit. Those that we're unable to name in front of us, in front aloud today, and those that rest within our hearts, please bring them the reassurance and safety that only you can provide through your presence and comforting arms. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, You Are My Strength.
We're going to do this one twice through because it's short. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Be seated. When we share what we have, no matter how much or how little, God uses it to satisfy the needs of every living creature. So let us now bring our loaves and fishes, every gift that we have, so we can witness the miracle of God's community in action. God, may these gifts be used as witness to your love, peace, and justice at work in the world, renewing the face of the earth. Amen.
Good morning. We have a couple of readings today. The first reading is from 2 Kings 4, 42 to 44, NIV version. A man came from Baal Shalish, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Psalm 145, 10 through 18, NIV version. All of your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of the kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall, and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you have the words of eternal life. Feed us with the gift of your grace and fill us with the life of your Spirit, that we may come to believe in you, the Holy One of God. Amen. Do you remember way back in school when they used to give us those math problems that were like written out like in a paragraph? Those word problems? A train leaves Chicago heading towards Toledo, traveling at 70 miles an hour. And at the same time, a train leaves Toledo heading towards Chicago, and traveling at 60 miles an hour. And the distance between the two cities is 260 miles. So when do the two trains meet? No? You don't have the I'm not a math person. That's one of the reasons I went to seminary. There aren't any math classes at all in seminary. But I will admit that those word problems from elementary, middle, we didn't have even had some in high school. You know, they do help me in my everyday life and in ministry. So the deacons were recently presented with an example of this while they were preparing for Sunday. If we expect 20 to 25 people, how much ice cream should we get? A half gallon for each person. Yes. It took us a little bit of research to determine out what a serving size is, and that didn't seem like quite enough. And then we had to look at what the average person actually eats, and that seemed like too much. So we kind of like met in the middle there. But the one thing we neglected to calculate, deacons, was God's abundant provision. We'll find out in just a little bit how good the deacons and God's math is. I think we're fine. So our scripture for today from 2 Kings also presents us with a bit of a word problem. There's 100 men. When the Bible says 100 men, what they mean is 100 households. It's 100 men plus women and children. So it's probably closer to like 300 people. And someone has generously donated like 20 fresh home-baked loaves of bread. And 20 loaves is a lot of bread. But I think we need to do a little bit of math to see how well 20 loaves will fill these people. So my research says that depending on the loaf size and how thickly you slice it, you can get anywhere from 12 to 16 slices from a loaf of bread. And in the ancient times, they tended to slice it a little bit thicker, if they sliced it at all, to prevent excess crumbling and breakage. So I'm going to say 12 slices per loaf, just to be on the safe side. Let's say each person is going to eat 4 slices. Some of the kids are going to eat fewer slices. Some of the adults are going to have a couple more. And so I'm estimating that they're going to need about 1,200 slices of bread. But 20 loaves is only going to give us 240 slices. We're 960 slices short. It's 80 loaves. Now, if I heard a story like this, and the nominating committee came to me recommending Elisha for deacons, I might have to question their sanity. At the very least, I probably wouldn't put him in charge of determining how much food is necessary at a potluck. And I'd surely think twice about having him make any sort of decisions about what we as a congregation can afford to do. And this must have been what the man from Baal Shalisha was thinking. Dude, I only have 20 loaves here. There are 100 hungry households. The math ain't mathin', buddy. And as this servant looks between the offering and the crowd, all he sees is scarcity. He questions not only how is this going to feed them, But how is this not going to start a riot among these hungry people? But the prophet Elisha doesn't see scarcity. Elisha sees an opportunity to bear witness to the reality and the power of God's presence among them. And so he replies that the Lord says there will be enough. And wouldn't you know it, not only was everyone fed, but there were also leftovers. Does this story sound familiar to anybody? So where else have you heard this?
Feeding of the 5,000,
exactly. And you know what? The gospel lesson in the lectionary for today is John's account of the feeding of the 5,000. The parallels, uncanny. And it comes from the same beginning question. How can we serve so many with so little? And the conclusion is the same. The conclusion is, all ate to their fill and there was food left over. So maybe it seems a little weird that I chose to focus on Elisha when such a similar story occurs with Jesus in the New Testament. But I think that Elisha is a compelling witness to the presence and the power of God. Also, I've been talking about Old Testament prophets, so I thought I'd let the theme keep going. So chapter 4 of 2 Kings is a succession of miraculous accounts that are performed by Elisha. Before this, he had filled all the countless bottles with oil for a widow so that she could pay off her debts. He raised a Shunammite's son, a Shunammite woman's son, and he purified this accidentally poisoned stew so that people could eat it. Elisha isn't trying to impress people. In each and every instance, Elisha performs these acts for the sake of others, to bring, sustain, or restore life. And most importantly, they are all executed through the power of God. Elisha foreshadows the miracle worker that we find in the New Testament, Jesus Christ. In every miracle that Elisha performs, there's this crisis that requires an immediate response. And while Elisha doesn't have the material resources on hand, he does have a powerful faith and witness that results in this constant and confident response. The other thing that Elisha has is meaningful relationships with the people. He knew the widow's late husband, who was also a prophet. The Shunammite woman was a longtime benefactor. He's a mentor and a guide to a guild of prophets. And what I see leads me to believe that God's provision isn't just material. It's relational. It's the whole person. It's the whole community that concerns God. And Psalm 145 really solidifies that for me. It's a praise psalm that celebrates the goodness and the provision of God, who lifts up the fallen and straightens up the bowed down. It's about more than thanksgiving for the fulfillment of an immediate need. It's praise for the entirety of care and generosity that God provides us, for the relationship shared between God and God's people. A pastor of mine used to say, when God blesses you, you are blessed with people, not things. And I see Elisha as a blessing in this way. A faithful person, leading with confidence and boldness, his relationship with God is the outlet for God's desire to bless and sustain all of the people. So through Elisha and Psalm 145, and also let's not forget about Jesus, we're shown how we can participate in God's abundant provisions. We can be the people who give through our very lives, through our relationships with one another and our relationship with God. There are basic necessities of life that need to be met. And that's why we do collections like for the food pantry or for the school supplies. You know, we have to have food, shelter, health care, clean air, fresh water. But we as humans need more than that to be whole people. We need relationships and community. So when Elisha sees the 100 households and the 20 loaves of bread, he's doing the math too. But he sees more information in that word problem than we tend to see. He recognizes the presence and the will of God as one of the resources which can be drawn upon. A resource that can respond to the needs of God's people. And that's a very specific gift of a prophet. Being able to see when and where God's blessing will come, that's something that prophets have an eye for. So Elisha and the psalmist, they challenge us to look through the eyes of a prophet, to reach beyond that common sense measurements of the world, that those measurements that tell us, there's not enough, why even bother? To recognize how God's abundant provisions are at work in the world, and to know that we are invited to participate in that. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. And blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes,
before we head back out into the world and eat tasty, tasty ice cream treats, let me offer you a charge and a benediction. Go forth into the world knowing that God's goodness and mercy follows us. Lift up the brokenhearted, stand with the oppressed, and let us do everything out of the love of God which we know in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.